listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, with studios in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting on satellite GE1, Transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Today is our debut on WRMI, 9955 kilohertz shortwave. We are being simulcast on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 low-power FM stations across the nation and around the world. If we have time later in the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, I will open the phones so that I can get some kind of reception report for shortwave. Due to the weather, I'm not expecting any kind of miracle. You're going to learn this afternoon on the West Coast, this evening on the East Coast, and all of the time in between, the truth about the Los Angeles riots, ladies and gentlemen, and the shock testing in order to determine the effects of social engineering in America. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Bring it on!
Bring it on!
today's broadcast is from a report entitled Blood Carnage and the Agent Provocateur by Lex Constantine. On the evening of April the 29th, 1992, the skyline of Los Angeles smoldered in red firelight. The announcement of a verdict in the first Rodney King case was an exhortation to violence, setting off a chain of skirmishes throughout the city, not just at Florence and Normandy. There were, simultaneous with Reginald Denny's torment, reports of looting at Manchester and Vermont, gunfire on Broadway with numerous people down. At Coliseum Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, a group of 20 people pelted rocks at passing cars. 2 weeks later, Los Angeles Police Chief Daryl F. Gates would tell reporters that the LAPD and FBI were investigating the possibility that the skirmishes were planned and coordinated by street gangs. "That's one of the things we are attempting to do," he said, "to see how much of this was planned." In fact, ladies and gentlemen, a task force of 100 investigators from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and other federal, state, and local police agencies announced in July 1992 that it had discovered some organized efforts to attack people and burn stores, but has not found that gangs planned the violence. Planning and coordination were obvious in the case of Tran Lam, owner of the Peachtree Market. At 9 p.m. on April the 29th, a car full of looters broke into the market. Shortly thereafter, a second car pulled up and disgorged an occupant who set the store on fire. The next day, Lam's truck was struck from behind. The driver pulled alongside and a passenger opened fire. Lam was hit four times. At that moment, another store owned by Tran Lam was also set aflame. There were, indeed, earmarks of planning and coordination on the streets, but not by the volatile street gangs of South Central Los Angeles. As smoke and ash began to stain the sky, Vernon Broussard, a National Guardsman, and a companion, Jeffrey Sandoval, were driving slowly down Wilshire Boulevard. Both wore dark clothing. The license tags had been downturned so the vehicle could not be identified. A passing Beverly Hills cop spotted the tags and stopped the car. Broussard and Sandoval admitted that they were armed. Police searched the car and found a .357 Magnum. They also turned up two gas cans, glass bottles, rags, all the raw ingredients for Molotov cocktails. Suspecting Broussard and Sandoval of participation in the rioting, prosecutors filed felony counts for possession of a flammable substance and possession of incendiary bombs. The prosecution ended in a mistrial when the jury failed to reach a unanimous verdict. Prosecutors and police were of the opinion that Broussard, the son of a University of Southern California professor of education, and his companion meant to take part in the rioting. Deputy District Attorney Carol Nigera argued that they intended to do something, quote, improper and inappropriate, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a disagreement as to whether Broussard was actually called to duty during the riots, as he contended. Defense attorney Warren Ettinger said that Broussard, who attended the trial in uniform, put in 16-hour shifts on the riot-racked streets and returned to duty only after a postponement in his arraignment. This is the version reported in the Los Angeles Times. That Broussard was assigned to riot duty at all is denied emphatically by Sergeant George Olson, a public affairs officer for the National Guard. Olson informed the Santa Monica Evening Outlook that Broussard was never sent on riot patrol, contradicting his attorney's appeal to sympathy for a battle-scarred soldier. Sergeant Olson reported the Outlook, quote, "wants to make that very clear," end quote. Now, Broussard told the jury that he ventured into the first tumults of the rioting to help a stranded motorist. The firebombs discovered in his trunk render this defense improbable. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I have never seen a time when the National Guard was armed with glass bottles, rags, gasoline cans, Molotov cocktails. Meanwhile, a former police dog trainer from Hollywood, by his own account, was sent by the Los Angeles Police Department into the anxious heart of Koreatown to discharge flares at Korean-owned shops. His accomplices, equipped with walkie-talkies, timed the firing of the flares with the passing of black motorists to make it appear that they were responsible. Now, most people are oblivious to the existence of political provocateurs, but they constitute an important chapter in the history of American rioting, especially, ladies and gentlemen, since the Vietnam era. To illustrate, in 1971, Lee Smith, an ex-convict from the California Men's Colony, testified before Congress that he'd been paid to foment prison unrest. He'd been instructed by authorities to blame, quote, Marxist revolutionary forces, end quote, for stirring up the violence. Afterward, conditions at the penal colony worsened. Lewis Packwood, formerly an undercover operative of the Los Angeles Police Department's Criminal Conspiracy Section, or CCS, defined an agent provocateur as a police agent who is introduced to any political organization with instructions to foment discontent. A provocateur incites violence, giving authorities a justification to respond. A full quarter century of provocateur-inspired civil disturbances reflect on the turmoil of May 1992. Tackwood, who had been recruited by CCS to provoke prison riots, blew the whistle in 1971, charging that the secret Los Angeles Police Department unit had been, quote, set up on the same basis as the Central Intelligence Agency, end quote. CCS agents, he told the press, went to Washington, D.C., and at one time or another have been trained by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Tackwood disclosed that the agents of CCS were sponsored by the federal intelligence apparatus, like J. Edgar Hoover said, they're my boys, they're my boys. The Tackwood revelations converged with the Watergate scandal and the White House Plumbers Unit, which is alleged to have spent $10 million on political provocations and other forms of subterfuge. The CCS was directly linked to the Washington, D.C.-based Interagency Group on Domestic Intelligence and Internal Security, a little-known covert operations unit made up of right-wing agents from the FBI, CIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, National Security Council, Army, Air Force, Navy, and local police departments. Federal intelligence agencies still mesh with the Los Angeles Police Department, especially the Organized Crime Intelligence Division, or OCID. Mike Rothmiller, a former OCID detective, stumbled upon the symbiosis and summarily fell prey to an assailant's bullet. The chief suspect in the attempted murder, Jack Ingraham, is a wealthy Orange County employee of an aircraft leasing firm at John Wayne Airport. Ingraham is also reputed to have smuggled arms into Latin America and cocaine back to the United States as a part of Oliver North's Iran-Contra arms for drugs enterprise. Rothmiller had been investigating another suspected cocaine courier, Marina Del Rey resident Robert Terry, when the assailant stopped him. Terry, once a New York Police Department officer, is a very frequent traveler to Washington, D.C. He has big connections, says Rothmiller, including the Central Intelligence Agency. Terry once donated $25,000 to the GOP for a set of White House china and posed for a photograph with Nancy Reagan. Detective Rothmiller's prime informant in the Terry investigation was Herman Ferriola, a repatriated ex-general of the Mexicas Federales. Ferriola has often been seen tooling around Los Angeles in a squad car loaned to him by the chief of the North Las Vegas Police Department. He has, says Rothmiller, the deepest access to the Mexican intelligence community. United States agents, spies, and cops buzzed around him like gringo bees. Ferriola is close to a host of Los Angeles Police Department officers. He was once a major in the Colombian secret police and has served under Arturo Durazo, the corrupt former Mexican police chief. Now, ladies and gentlemen, based on Ferriola's information, Rothmiller tipped the Internal Revenue Service, who followed Robert Terry's movements on a sojourn to Washington, D.C. They tailed the drug courier from the airport to the executive office building of the White House. You see, William Jefferson Clinton isn't the only one involved in drugs. Since the shooting of Rothmiller by a suspected drug smuggler working on behalf of the Central Intelligence Agency, the disabled detective has been frozen out, denied a pension, denied benefits by the police department to which he has given his entire adult life. At the 1990 trial of LASD Deputy Daniel Garner and former Sheriff's Sergeant Robert Sobel, accused of skimming drugs and profits from an elite LASD task force, a gag order was imposed against any mention of Central Intelligence Agency complicity. They and other officers testified that the unit cooperated with the CIA in the laundering of drug proceeds. The funds were sent back to Latin American drug cartels. The sheriffs were told that the money trail was followed to gather information on the cartels. Harland Brown, representing Deputy Garner, acknowledged in the courtroom that numerous documents indicating that drug money was being used to purchase military equipment for Central America had been turned up by the accused officers. United States District Judge Edward Rafidi ruled the testimony was, quote, irrelevant, end quote, and forbade further discussion of Central Intelligence Agency money laundering in his courtroom. It's not as if the city hadn't been warned that the LAPD was more deeply involved in political malfeasance than any other metropolitan police force, aside possibly from New York City. You see, Tackwood pulled LAPD skeletons out of the closet with the publication of the Glass House Tapes in 1973, including the disclosure that the department had about 125 provocateurs on the payroll. Some in the press, but not many, ask questions. And most of you should know by now that the press is totally controlled, manipulated, and all you're fed is pablum on the nightly news and in your favorite newspaper, unless it happens to be a small family-owned newspaper, and there are not many of those left in the United States. Those that are left, who have the guts to publish the truth, ladies and gentlemen, do not last long. Liberal community groups in Los Angeles, discovering they'd been infiltrated, sued the Los Angeles Police Department. CCS, the secret police unit, was disbanded. Its spies and provocateurs were reassigned. In its place, ladies and gentlemen, evolved the OCID, which incidentally maintained no files on organized crime. The OCID does, however, keep extensive files on local politicians and private citizens. Another offshoot is the Los Angeles Police Department's anti-terrorist division, headed until recently by the former chief's brother, Stephen Gates. A staffer who asked not to be identified, charged that the unit maintains files on city council members. In 1988, Robert Vernon, an assistant police chief assigned to the division, forked over $3.8 million worth of penance in a lawsuit filed by Michael Zinzin, a Pasadena city council member who resented that secret police files were kept by Vernon in an attempt to discredit him. And in a local speech, Zinzin linked the LAPD intelligence cadres to ultra-right-wing organizations. Information gathered by the LAPD, he discovered, was turned over to the John Birch Society and recited into the congressional record by the late Congressman Larry McDonald, who perished in the downing of KAL Flight 007. This information flow, said Zin Zin, resulted in the murders of activists, political bombings, and the planting of false information in the press. The intelligence faction of the LAPD, he found, was linked to the political network that was also involved in the attempts to overthrow the Nicaraguan government and conjured up the war in the Middle East. Zin Zin's report on the LAPD, sponsored by the Coalition Against Police Abuse, describes rampant abuse of authority. In 1989 to 1990, there were 3,179 investigations of the Department by Internal Affairs of violations of policy, lying, theft, and all kinds of corruption by 3,590 officers. All told, ladies and gentlemen, one-third of the Los Angeles Police Department force was under investigation. Now, if that's not a police department out of control, I don't know what is. The police commission banned the practice of spying on political figures in 1984. Nonetheless, Attorney Jeffrey Taylor Gibbs of the John M. Langston Bar Association testified before the Christopher Commission on May the 1st, 1992, that, quote, "The belief is widespread in this city that Chief Gates, much like J. Edgar Hoover, maintains files of personal and political information on every major political figure in Los Angeles," end quote. Now, 3 weeks later, Mary Henry of the Compton School Board assailed the Los Angeles City Council. This is what she said, quote, "You have city councilmen involved in drugs," end quote, she said. And she went on, quote, "And the police know about it and choose to keep the lid on these people by threatening them," end quote. Indications that spies and provocateurs continued to be employed by the LAPD surfaced in 1984 with the arrest of Jimmy Wade Pearson, an officer of the Metro Division assigned to the Olympic Games. At first, Pearson was publicly lauded for disarming a pipe bomb planted in a wheel well of a bus filled with the baggage of 52 Turkish athletes who occupied another bus parked nearby. Now, does that sound like something familiar that just recently happened at the Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia? Chief Gates praised this 40-year-old officer for a hell of a courageous act. The discovery of the bomb necessitated the evacuation of hundreds from Terminal 2 at the Los Angeles airport. Two terrorist groups claimed responsibility for the bomb, the Justice Commandos of Armenian Genocide and the Armenian Secret Army. The Los Angeles Times ran a lengthy history of strained Turkish-Armenian relations from 1915 onward. But nobody ever checked to see if these two organizations really existed at that time. When we ran the check, ladies and gentlemen, just like the Sons of the Gestapo, supposedly responsible for the derailing of an Amtrak train in Arizona, we could find no history of any such organization ever having existed upon the face of this earth. Alas, the following day after this supposed pipe bomb incident, a wilted Daryl Gates announced that Pearson had been arrested for constructing and planting the bomb himself. Pearson was held at Parker Center with bail set at $60,000. Not enough, in my estimation. At a press conference, Gates took credit for solving the case. He explained that Pearson, a former Navy SEAL, only intended to impress his superiors at the Metro Division. He wanted to do something that would cause them to take notice, Gates said, and certainly we have noticed him. In October 1985, Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Gerald Levy waived sentencing. He ordered Pearson to perform 1,500 hours of community service. Very lenient, ladies and gentlemen, considering that pipe bombs are notoriously unstable, according to Arlie McGee, head of the LAPD bomb squad, because gunpowder embedded in the pipe threads can ignite an explosion. The basic thing is he did not attempt to hurt anybody, Judge Levy noted. The LAPD intelligence unit, despite public denial, was established wholly for purposes of political sabotage. And before the arrests at Watergate and the possibility of public exposure of White House involvement, CCS was cut into a plan to incite a riot at the Miami Republican Convention in 1972. Hundreds of Republicans were recruited by Nixon aide Donald Segretti of Watergate fame and Douglas Cady, head of Young Americans for Freedom. Planning and coordination were handled by Edward Birch of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Sergeant Daniel Mahoney of the CCS. Tackwood's disclosures were confirmed by former Green Beret and FBI provocateur William Limmer, who testified before a Florida grand jury that he had been instrumental in a homicidal strategy to disrupt the 1972 Republican Convention by organizing fire teams armed with automatic weapons and incendiary devices. He said paid provocateurs intended to fire lead weights, fried marbles, ball bearings, cherry bombs, smoke bombs by means of wrist rockets, slingshots, and crossbows. Now, 2 years before, witnesses of the rioting at Kent State University testified that provocateurs were responsible for the pandemonium there. The grand jury investigation of the demonstration concluded that many of the rioters, quote, were not students, but were of a type who always welcomed the opportunity to participate in the destruction of property, end quote. The National Guard only cracked down on the students when the dilapidated ROTC building, with its full ammunition stores, was torched and went up like a rapture. One very interesting thing that came out of that, one Kent State student recalled, the ROTC building is about 200 feet from the police station right across the courtyard. All these self-styled revolutionaries who were burning down the ROTC building took 45 minutes to get the fire started all the time. The police watched, knew exactly what they were doing, and the police never attempted to stop them. In fact, it was almost as if they wanted them to burn down the ROTC building. From this point on, they used this as an excuse to stop the movement that students were involved in, the massive opposition to the war in Vietnam. Now, ladies and gentlemen, have no misunderstanding about any of this. I'm not telling you what's right or wrong about this. I'm just telling you the facts as we know them. And what you're hearing on this broadcast is the truth. Police and military units were held back. The rioting escalated. Just as police docility at Florence and Normandy Avenues on April 29, 1992 permitted pandemonium to explode from a small pocket of outrage, so too was this riot permitted to happen and encouraged at Kent State University, which resulted in the National Guard opening fire on students, several of them killed. From the Los Angeles Times, I quote, "The police department has come under fire for pulling back from the South Los Angeles intersection of Florence and Normandy Avenues, where some of the earliest violence was reported, and for failing to redeploy for hours. It was during this period that unsuspecting and defenseless motorists were dragged from their cars and brutally beaten in horrifying scenes broadcast live on television," end quote. A provocateur, ladies and gentlemen, is an infiltrator, a Judas who espouses and begets violence, setting others up for arrest and prosecution. Secret police operations, like the Los Angeles Police Department's, are quietly tied to the Defense Intelligence Agency, which has operated on a budget 10 times that of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Central Intelligence Agency combined. Provocateur actions linked with CIA and DIA-backed police units and SWAT teams are explosive, spawned by the camp secreted inside Fort Gordon, Georgia. And that's where the jackbooted, ninja-outfooted Nazi thugs originated, that you find in all of the major population centers in America today, and even some of the smaller ones. Even some local sheriff's departments now, today, ladies and gentlemen, are buying armored personnel carriers and tanks. What for? Inevitably, the investigation following, a provocateur action is conducted by defense intelligence officials. The Webster Commission, a prime example, allowed the LAPD to read and criticize its report prior to release, followed by increases in funding for undercover law enforcement, more spying on civilians, secret files, harsher police tactics. And this is the aftermath of the riots in Los Angeles. And ladies and gentlemen, it was only the beginning, as many of you who are awake and paying attention have discovered. Don't go away. I might be back. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They're our friends down in Phoenix who specialize in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets. That means, for those of you who don't know how to interpret that little phrase that I just gave you, real money. If you've never held a real silver dollar or a real $20 gold piece in your hand, then you probably don't understand what I'm talking about. But I'll give you a little exercise so that I can help you determine exactly what this is all about. If you have a dollar bill in your wallet, take it out and put it on the table. Beside it, put a $5 bill. Beside that, a $10 bill. Beside that, a $20 bill. And if you have a 50, put a 50 down. And if you have a 100, put a 100 down. Ladies and gentlemen, I can give you a silver dollar. By law, a dollar is a specific weight and measurement of silver coin. It can be an equivalent value in gold coin. In the Constitution, it specifically states, it says, no state shall tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin. The Constitution also gives the Congress the power to coin money. It doesn't say print money. Because, ladies and gentlemen, money must be something that has intrinsic value in and of itself. That's why our founding fathers, when they penned the Constitution, gave us as money gold and silver coin. They knew what they were doing. They understood that no hard money system in the history of the world had ever failed, but every paper money system had always failed after a period of years of creeping and then more rampant inflation and then runaway inflation that destroys the people. Only those who control paper money benefit from the use of it. Now I want you to look down at those Federal Reserve notes that you have laying on your table, $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100. Now, if I give you one silver coin and you hold that in your hand and you look at it, you know what it is. It has weight. You know that it has value. No one has to tell you that. You can feel it. You can see it. If I put five silver coins in your other hand, you know that you have more money in your other hand than you have in the one that holds just one silver dollar. So you can look and feel the one silver dollar, and you can tell it's worth a dollar. And you can look at the five silver dollars, and you can feel their weight, and you know that you have more money in that hand. Now look down at those pieces of paper on your table. They also say Federal Reserve note. The first lie is that they are federal. They're no more federal than federal dry cleaning. The Federal Reserve is a private corporation. It is not a note because a note is proof of debt. Ladies and gentlemen, it can be called. It must say who owes what to who and how it's going to be paid and when. And it says no such thing on any of those pieces of paper you have in front of you. Every one of them specifies that they are a certain amount of dollars. And that is another lie. A dollar is a specific weight by law and measurement of purity of silver coin or an equivalent value of gold coin. What you have in front of you is counterfeit, bogus, instruments of debt through the use of, you are being destroyed, slowly but surely. I defy anyone listening to tell me the difference between the $1 Federal Reserve note and the $100 Federal Reserve note and why the $100 Federal Reserve note supposedly has any more value than the $1 Federal Reserve note or in comparison with any of the ones in between. You wouldn't have that problem, ladies and gentlemen, if I stacked up five $20 gold pieces and set them beside one silver dollar. Inflation is not caused by the price of oil or the price of anything else becoming inflated. Inflation is caused simply by putting into circulation more of these worthless counterfeit instruments of our own destruction called Federal Reserve notes, or making credit more readily available which is nothing more than a bookkeeping entry. Swiss America Trading specializes in real money. And when all this house of cards comes tumbling down, if you don't have some real money, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to suffer. Now, if you don't believe that, a wise man once said, he who does not study history is doomed to repeat it. Get your nose in your history books and look at what has happened throughout the history of the world to civilizations when paper currency was found out to be the fraud that it is and came tumbling down as it always has in every instance that it has ever been used in the history of the human race. And look who survived those times and what they survived it with. Was always people who had a commodity internationally recognized as money. It's always been gold or silver coin. And those people have been the only ones who have ever survived the debacles brought about by this system of creeping theft. 1-800-289-2646 is the number. I want you to call them. Thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time and the Worldwide Freedom Network. Ask them for the current copy of the newsletter. Tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time and William Cooper. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money and do it now. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646, or if it's easier for you, 1-800-BUY-COIN. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Network. Ladies and gentlemen, during the riots in Los Angeles, at any given time, if you were watching on television or on the satellite feeds, you could count, and we were told, that there were over 5,000 fires burning simultaneously all over the city. Not just confined to South Central Los Angeles, as many of you have been led to believe. Most of these fires, after extensive investigation, were found to have been conflagrations, ladies and gentlemen. In other words, they were not fires set by piles of trash and sticks and maybe a little gasoline at the corner of a building. or in a room or in a hallway or in a doorway. That is not how those fires started. Conflagrations, ladies and gentlemen, are fires that begin viciously with lots of heat, and the whole building goes up almost simultaneously. Conflagrations, ladies and gentlemen, are set. They are intentional, and they are set by professional arsonists or provocateurs. This is something that the public never understood. The residents of South Central Los Angeles said that they had witnessed arsonists who were clearly not locals. Many of them were not black. They were seen lighting fires and escaping before residents could stop them. After touring riot-torn sections of Los Angeles, the Reverend Jesse Jackson held a televised press conference. He said a burned-out hospital he had visited appeared to him to be a professional arson job. On the subject of fires, Charlie Parsons of the Federal Bureau of Investigation said that his task force had uncovered evidence of business owners engaging in arson for profit. Now, you can believe that if you want to, ladies and gentlemen, but the evidence shows otherwise. There may have been. Don't misunderstand me. There may have been some individuals who took advantage of the situation, who may have needed cash, whose business was on the point of failure, who may have set the fires themselves in order to collect the insurance. And there was an awful lot of insurance collected in Los Angeles, but there were not anywhere near close 5,000 of these people, or even a small portion of 5,000. A delay by police at the onset of a riot invites the escalation of bloodshed. Everyone knows that. Most assuredly, the police know that. Police inaction is another form of provocation. There are precursors. The 1970 state prison riot in New Mexico was pitched into mass torture and murder when police and prison guards were ordered not to intervene. Events leading up to the riot suggest that it was encouraged by prison officials. 3 weeks before rioting broke out, Raymond Procunier of San Francisco's undersheriff, the brains behind the brains of provocations at San Quentin, the murder of George Jackson, and the prosecution of the Soledad brothers, arrived in New Mexico to consult with officials of the correctional facility. And soon thereafter, prison bars separating the main office from the control center were replaced with unbreakable glass. The prison atmosphere was agitated by informants, universally despised by prisoners and guards alike. And when rioting broke out, a Niagara of unbreakable glass showered the concourse and corridor. Outside, police and prison guards passively observed the rioting through binoculars while hostages were tortured, mutilated, blinded with soldering irons, shot, and, ladies and gentlemen, even decapitated. When it was over, every prisoner in the witness protection program sequestered in a separate high-security compound was dead. And as at Kent State in Los Angeles, responsible officials refused to call in the police until violence was rampant and totally out of control. Los Angeles Police Chief Darrell Gates, a veteran of CCS and the OCID, blamed public criticism of the department for police inaction. Gates suggested that members of the Webster Commission take a look at some of the mental attitudes that have been building in this department for over a year of constant criticism and how morale may have affected the response. He accused the press of engaging in a feeding frenzy, of beating up on my police officers, as he put it. Chief Gates has also laid blame on Lieutenant Mike Molan for faults in response to the rioting. Molan, reported the Times, who has been ordered not to comment, pulled a group of officers back from a melee at Florence in Normandy about 5:45 p.m., April 29th, an hour before motorists and truck driver Reginald O. Denny were yanked from their vehicles and attacked by a stone-throwing mob. Lieutenant Mullen answered the recrimination with a $30 million slander suit against Chief Gates in October and filed a claim for damages against the city. Mullen argued that he was only a scapegoat, that it was not within his authority to order officers to Florence and Normandy. He said, quote, "While Chief Gates was attending the fundraiser in Brentwood, those of us in uniform were left to handle a highly volatile situation." When assigning blame, he said, "Perhaps the chief should look in the mirror." At a press conference the same afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, Gates dismissed Mullen's slander suit as a disguised effort to land a disability pension. Gates sniffed, "That might be what he's trying to do." In May, Gates had argued in his own defense that a family emergency had preoccupied him during the riots. On a book tour to publicize his autobiography, entitled Chief, My Life in the LAPD, he claimed that his son's drug overdose was deeply on my mind during the riot. Speaking of his son, Scott, the LAPD's highest official lamented, "They thought he was going to die." Gates had to admit, though, that he failed to visit his hospitalized son, nor had he seen him since his release and recovery from the overdose. But he denied that the story was a play for sympathy. "Well, what was it, Chief Gates? If you were so worried about your son, why didn't you go see him while he was in the hospital, and why didn't you see him when he came out of the hospital?" "I'll tell you why, because you're lying, Chief Gates. And it's obvious to anyone who has ever had a child. The use of your son as your excuse is inexcusable." The overdose, Gates said on the Phil Donahue Show, was extremely distracting to me. It's always on your mind. It's a constant ache in the middle of your chest. Well, it wasn't enough of an ache for him to visit his supposedly almost dying son. Police disarray at the initial phase of the rioting in Los Angeles was aggravated by the absence of hundreds of LAPD captains who were attending a training seminar in Oxnard. Chief Gates left Parker Center as the riot began to take in a fundraiser against Proposition F, a ballot measure that would make the police chief more accountable to the city. He had announced a $1 million increase in overtime revenue, yet officers by the hundreds were allowed to go home at the end of the afternoon shift. Chief Gates offered his partial explanation for the delay that police were busy protecting firefighters. But the Times reported that angry fire officials disputed his contention. Fire officials said that, in fact, they got only limited protection during the first hours of the riot, even though large numbers of officers were kept waiting at a command post at 54th and Arlington Streets. And police commissioners were deluged with complaints. Where were the police? Some 200 officers, ordered to do nothing, were appalled. They stood around waiting for orders while the carnage escalated. The paralysis of police response continued into the second day. One deputy chief harshly criticized the department as the riot gathered momentum. He said, quote, "This is alien to everything we're supposed to do in a situation like this," end quote. And from the New York Times, Dateline Los Angeles, May 6th, emerging evidence from the first crucial hours after the acquittal of four police officers in the beating of Rodney G. King provides the strong indication that top police officials did little to plan for the possibility of violence and did not follow standard procedures to contain rioting once it began. An examination of television news tapes and police radio transmissions, as well as interviews with city officials, shows that the police never put into effect their standard riot control strategy, never mind planning for something that they knew was coming. The police retreated as the violence began, but violated the very basic police procedure for riot control by failing to cordon off the area around one of the first trouble spots and not returning to that area for hours, thus, in effect, giving permission to anybody who wanted to loot and riot and beat and murder and destroy. Police 911 dispatchers attempted to send squad cars to the scene of the first violent outbreaks, but were repeatedly ignored or overruled. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Thank you.
This is the Voice of Freedom. To the Worldwide Freedom Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. Also on WRMI, 9955 kilohertz worldwide shortwave radio. To the hour of the time, I'm William Cooper. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the second hour of the hour of the time.
Money stuff you call dollars for two pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the share.
This is the Hour of the Time, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm William Cooper. Welcome back to the second hour. I'm going to be taking calls, and the number is 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. I am particularly interested in anyone listening on shortwave so that I can get a reception report and find out where in the country, or where out of the country, you are listening. Now, since this is our first broadcast in this time slot, and there normally isn't anyone here, we may not have any listeners on shortwave at this time. And if that's the case, then you can call from satellite or FM listening, wherever you may be. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
My name is Jackie. My dad and I listen to you, and our reception on our shortwave is not coming in at all.
It's not coming in at all. Where are you at?
At Menor.
Where?
Menor, Ohio.
Oh, in Ohio. Okay.
Yeah.
How's the weather there?
Right now, it's bad. It's like snowing.
Oh, okay.
And cold.
That could be the reason.
Oh, okay.
Shortwave and bad weather don't go together. And in any case, you should be able to hear WRMI during good weather and during certain hours of the day. This is also a bad time of the year for sunspots, which really plays havoc with any kind of radio reception except for FM.
Okay. We also have satellite, so we can hear you anyway.
Good. So you're listening on satellite?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Jackie.
We'd like to say hi to your daughter, Pooh.
Okay. I'll certainly tell her that you did that. I don't think she's listening right now. She's supposed to be doing her schoolwork.
Okay, well, can you tell her we said hi?
I certainly will. Thank you so much for calling and for your help.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. 520-333-4578 is the number. I need to hear from you if you're on shortwave, if you're listening to this broadcast, and tell me about the reception. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Bill.
Yes.
How you doing? My name's Tom from New Jersey.
Hi, Tom.
Not coming in too good right now. I'm listening to you on WRMI.
But you can hear it.
And actually, when you get off, I'm about to run up to Radio Shack, see if I can juice this thing up a bit.
Okay.
Maybe I can get you a little better tomorrow.
Is this Tom Malia?
Excuse me?
Is this Tom M?
No, my name's Tom. This is Tom.
Okay.
And I just wanted to give you the report.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Good to hear from you again, Bill.
Well, great. Yeah, it's good to be back on shortwave.
Yeah, I really, really missed you, man.
Well, you know, we built a tremendous network of low-power FM stations all across the country. People are so sick of the communist news networks and being fed the pablum and the lies by Dan Rather and Peter Jennings and Ted Koppel and Ted Turncoat on CNN and all of the others. That they've had it. They're going to take the airwaves back. We're doing it. We have some fantastic broadcasts on the network, and of course we have the tremendous listenership by satellite all across North and South America. And with WRMI, we're reaching down in Central America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, and over 700 low-power FM transmitters all across the United States, some transmitting only as far as a block or two, some transmitting for many miles, and one of our stations even made the Arbitron ratings in the last poll.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was one of the people that I had an Arbitron card. I got the book, actually, and sent it back to them.
Fantastic. That's wonderful.
And I was wondering if you knew anything about this fellow, Malachi Martin. I just picked up a book he wrote, The Keys of This Blood.
Yes, listen, that's an excellent book. Will give you a great insight into where we're headed in relationship to the views and the political machinations of the hierarchy of the Vatican. And if you listen to Paul Crouch and Pat Robertson and others, these so-called evangelists, and you listen very carefully, you'll see that they're leading their sheep right into the shearing pens.
Yeah, it looks like a fantastic book. I just didn't get into it yet. I just picked it up the other day. So, well, Bill, like I said, I'm glad to hear you on again. You are really, really missed. I'm going to spread the word. Let everyone know you're back on.
Fantastic.
And, you know, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you're listening on shortwave, I need to know where you're at and how well you're hearing the broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill?
Yes?
It's Saber in Texas.
Hi, Saber. How are you?
Hi. I'm just west of the river to Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
Real bad weather here.
Yeah?
Matter of fact, we had some sleet this morning, so it's real overcast. Little fuzzy, but after some tinkering, I'm on a APS 8186. Like CS,
the
indoor amplified antenna.
Uh huh.
And finally got it in after tinkering with it for about 5 minutes. It's just a little fuzzy, but it's clear enough to hear.
So you're getting us on 9955 WRMI Radio Miami International.
Right.
Fantastic. You also have a satellite.
It is. I'm west of the Mississippi, so.
Well, you're lucky
not
because.
Not me.
According to all of the pre-broadcast tests we ran, you should not be able to receive west of the Mississippi, but if you are, that's a plus in our favor, and I'm happy for it.
I think it's great, considering the weather's not good, and when the weather clears up, you might even come in better.
Well, when the weather clears up, we'll be booming. Booming. You know, the antennas are aimed, and you know, this broadcast is an international broadcast, because if we lose our battle here to maintain our freedom, our Constitution and our Creator endowed rights protected by our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, then the entire world goes backwards into slavery as the human race has existed since the beginning, until this nation was founded by the great geniuses who created it. And we certainly don't want that to happen. So my message goes to the world, not just here in the United States. In fact, the broadcast in the United States is a sort of a good effect of our broadcast to the Central South America, Australia, and New Zealand area.
I'd like to know if you're getting out into any of the islands.
In the Caribbean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought that was pretty good. I don't have any kind of outside antenna at all, so.
Well, that's wonderful, Saber.
Did you listen to the tape I sent you of Malachi Martin on Art Bell?
Not yet. I just got it. That's just a few days ago.
He very plainly says goodbye to Art Bell and calls him a fellow traveler.
Well, yes, Art Bell is a fellow traveler.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what that means, ladies and gentlemen, a fellow traveler is a communist. operating as a provocateur change agent in this country to destroy this country from within. And that's why you hear all the crap on the Art Bell Show that's designed to keep you spinning around, chasing your tail in little cul-de-sacs on stuff that is not true, doesn't have anything to do with what you should be concentrating on while our nation goes down the tubes on a roller coaster.
Well, that's it.
Thank you.
All us down here in Texas.
Good. When I listen to that, I'll play it on the air so the whole world can hear who Art Bell really is.
I think you should. It's real short. It's just a very close of the program that night.
You have no idea, Saber, how many letters I get from people who listen to Art Bell wanting me to tell them what it is that's accompanying the Hale-Bopp comet, this gigantic, hollow, extraterrestrial spaceship that's emitting warnings to the Earth, and it's bigger than the Earth, and it's coming here to invade, and all of this crap that he's putting out all over the place. There's absolutely nothing accompanying the Hale-Bopp comet. It's just a comet. There's nothing with it. There's nothing behind it. There's nothing coming to invade the Earth. Art Bell is full of bull.
He's a master tail weaver.
He's a master BS artist, is the truth. And he is.
I'll give my love to the girl.
Okay, thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you too, Saber. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. This is Virginia here in Texas. I'm following Saber, and I just have a little shortwave radio here, and I'm getting you just pretty good. My tuning light is on, which is an indication that it's coming in strong.
Wonderful.
For me, because usually it doesn't put the tune light on. But I am so thankful you're back on shortwave. Now we know what. Now we can find out what's really going on.
Well, you know what you need to do. All of you listening to this broadcast need to call Swiss America Trading and thank them. Swiss America Trading is the sponsor. If the sponsor is not patronized, you won't be hearing the hour of the time. And that is the truth also.
Okay, give us the number one more time.
520-333-4578.
For Swiss America?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. that's the number here. It's 1-800-289-2646.
Okay, thank you, Bill, and I'm so happy you're back on.
Well, thank you.
God bless.
And for those of you for whom it may be easier to remember, it's 1-800-BUY-COIN. Call Swiss America Trading. Thank them for sponsoring this broadcast. Thank them for putting up the money for the Worldwide Freedom Network. And, tell them that you appreciate it. While you're calling, ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. Also, ask them for a copy of the free newsletter that's just chock full of stuff that you need to know about money, about real money, and about that phony stuff that you've got in your pocket. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Bill in Hendersonville, North Carolina. On the shortwave end of it, for about the first 15 minutes, it came in good. And as it got darker, reception dwindled. So may have something to do with what they call the gray line. The farther west it may be going, the signal may be better. So the East Coast may be suffering during this time slot, but the rest of the country may be coming in halfway decent.
Uh-huh. Well, I know it has a lot to do with propagation and the sunspots this time of year. Actually, shortwave reception is supposed to improve after dark. So I don't know.
Well, it depends on where you're coming from. If it's like now, we can pick up broadcast stations out of Europe, but as the night, as it gets daylight here and it's got daylight over there, it goes away. So it's following the sun, you might say. Mm-hmm. That's a tendency, a general tendency. So there may be hope for the western portions of the country hearing it better than the eastern coast.
Okay. Also, you know what you can do? Let me give you a little hint here on something that you... Have you ever heard of a long wire antenna?
I've got 560 feet horizontal loop up in the trees, and I'm a ham, so I got all that stuff.
Oh, okay, then you know about it. Well, let me tell the people who may not know, and you don't have to put it outside, ladies and gentlemen. You can put it, like, in your attic. As long as the long wire is insulated and doesn't touch anything except the insulators until it plugs into your radio, and you can put 300 feet of long wire in your attic, looping it back and forth up there in the crawl space, And you don't have to have a big outside area to string a long antenna. If you do have a long, you know, a huge outside area, then that's great. Then you can string a long wire and make sure that you ground it, because you don't want to get fried if lightning strikes.
There you go. Something they anybody that could, you know, that has the wherewithal and a little bit of radio knowledge, they make what they call tuners, or matchers, or that will match the antenna to the frequency. So some help can be gained in that regard too. But we're getting you on the satellite very well, so, and broadcasting on the FM. So thank you. I'll let somebody else get in.
Great. And you're broadcasting also?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful.
Bye now.
Thank you. Thank you for broadcasting. Thank you for getting up off your butt, and thank you for being a good American and caring enough to do something while all of these millions of people in this country just walk around complaining and won't do anything but complain. That's just beyond me. I don't understand it, but it happens. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. It's Steve from around Kalamazoo, another ham. You're beautiful, of course, off the satellite on 9950. I got you. S3 to S5, readable, but probably not tapeable, sir.
On 9955?
Yes, sir.
That's shortwave. Where's Kalamazoo?
Southwestern Michigan, about halfway between Detroit and Chicago.
Great, so you're getting us on shortwave there.
Yeah, I got you on shortwave, and of course we got a satellite. We're now, because of the schedule, I'm not home when the program starts, so we're running it to a VCR, and then I'll dub it down the cassette for playing at work.
Wonderful. Are you rebroadcasting?
I have two of the Ramsey kits, but as of yet, I haven't got them up and going, but possibly using the VCR tapes might solve a problem. Out where I live, I'm in a real remote area, and nobody would hear you out here. What I want to do is down at work, where I'm right downtown Kalamazoo.
Oh, that's great.
So probably what we'll do is consecutively tape the shows and then just load the VCR tape in, and I got 12-hour tapes, just let her rip.
Okay, that's sounds good to me.
Anything that'll work, Bill. Keep up the good work. Carry on, sir.
Thank you, and you too. 520-333-4578. I'd like to hear from you if you're listening on shortwave. Tell me how the reception is and where you're at. That's most important. Good evening. You're on the air. Actually, I should say good evening, East Coast. Good afternoon, West Coast. And it's just sort of midway in between. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Is this Bill Cooper?
Yes, it is.
Hi, I'm Fran. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Wonderful. How are you hearing us?
Shortwave.
Shortwave. Is it
2955.
You can have good reception?
Yeah, it's pretty good. In fact, I just before you broadcast, I went out about 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I got a 40-foot wire, and I hooked it up outside to increase the length, because I wasn't able to pick up this station before when Richard McDonald was on it.
Yeah.
So.
But you've got us.
Yeah, it's coming good. I'm glad to hear you back in the air.
Wonderful. Well, I've never left the air. I just left shortwave.
Right. Well, this is the first time. I just heard last, I don't know, it was Friday or Saturday that you were going to be back on, so.
Yes. And depending, you know, if everybody's getting good reception east of the Mississippi, we'll stay on, and we'll just keep on going. How's that sound to you?
That sounds great.
Good. Thank you for calling.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye. Well, boy, we're getting Michigan, Connecticut, Texas, South Carolina. Good afternoon or evening, depending on where you are. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Bill. This is Mike from Rochester, New York.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Well, I just raced right home for your premiere show on shortwave tonight.
Are you receiving us okay?
Yeah, I'm on the satellite, but I got a regular small Sony with about a 2-foot whip antenna, and 9955 is coming in good.
Hey, that's wonderful. I'm really glad to hear it, because we weren't really sure how this was going to go. We did some preliminary tests before, and it looked like we'd be able to hear it okay east of the Mississippi, but we weren't really that sure, and it sounds like it's going to be fine.
Well, you're pumping up here northways towards Lake Ontario, so that seems pretty good.
That's wonderful.
A quick question. I know you got a lot of callers, and I'll get off the line. About 2 months ago, Bill, you had the Swan report on involving the Complex Trust.
Yes.
Could you give me some more information on that, possibly a number and or a PO mailer, and I'll hang up and listen to you on the air.
I'll tell you what, if you'll call my secretary tomorrow morning, I'll make sure she has the information and you can get it from her, and you can call her at the same number.
Okay, Bill.
Okay.
Well, keep doing a good job out there as usual, and we're quite happy.
Well, thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. It's Americans, folks, that will make America work. And you, to make it work, you got to do something. So, you know, I'm really happy that you're all listening and that you're all rebroadcasting and that you're spreading the word and you're doing research and you're just not believing what you hear. And you know what I always tell you, and I'll tell you again because I think we probably have a lot of new listeners that have never heard this broadcast before. Here's my advice. Listen to everyone. Read everything. Believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research by your own efforts. And if you don't do that, folks, you're going to find that you're going to be somebody else's puppet or slave. When they pull the strings and play the tune, you're going to dance. That's how we got into this situation, trusting and believing. Most Americans don't know what's going on in their own hometown, much less their county or state, and you can forget about the federal government or the rest of the world. And that is the sad truth. Good evening. You're on the air. Or is it afternoon?
Hey, this is Chris Wilson. I was wondering, where are you broadcasting from?
I'm broadcasting from Eager, Arizona. Where are you at?
Eager, Arizona.
You are? Are you listening on the FM?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And whereabouts are you broadcasting exactly from?
Well, why do you want to know that?
I was just wondering because we heard the 333 number and it sounds too familiar, and we've never heard this radio station before.
That's because it's new in Eager. We've been on the air for maybe a couple of weeks and didn't start broadcasting 24 hours a day until just a few days ago.
Oh. One thing there's a little bit of static, but one thing we think you need to do is play a little more music.
Play a little more music?
Yeah.
No, we only do that for the sheeple. This radio station is for people who want to wake up and help recover America. We don't believe in socialism. We want the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to stand. That's what this station is really for. We do play an awful lot of music, and if you'll listen, you'll find that when we don't have regular broadcast programming or network programming, that we play all oldies most of the time.
Oh, well, that's pretty crazy, man.
Good. So tune in.
Okay, man.
You'll get some good.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Goodbye.
You'll get some good music, and if you listen to our programming, you'll also get some good education. And remember, folks, don't believe anything you hear on this show or anywhere else. Don't even believe your own mother today. This world is so full of deception and lies that if you don't get off your butts and start doing your own research and discovering what's true and not true, you're going to end up as a slave in the New World Order. And that's a fact. Everybody in this country knows something is terribly wrong. Nobody. Or very few people can really put their finger on what it is. You listen to this broadcast, you listen to this station, you listen to the Worldwide Freedom Network, we'll give you the facts, you go out and investigate it, determine for yourselves what's true and what's not, you'll find out that what's wrong is this state, this nation is being destroyed from within by international socialism. That's why you hear all the time Bill Clinton, Bob Dole, all these so-called Americans, they're not Americans at all. They keep calling this country a democracy. It's not. This is a constitutional republic. The Constitution guarantees each and every citizen a constitutional republican form of government. If you don't believe it, read the Constitution. So what is all this democracy crap? Well, I'll tell you what it is. V.I. Lenin, the founder of the Soviet Union, said, democracy is indispensable to socialism. And his definition of peace is as follows. He said, peace is, and I quote, the absence of opposition to socialism, end quote. And that's what the United Nations peacekeeping forces are really all about. Good evening, or afternoon, you're on the air.
Hey, Bill, this is Michelle in Oklahoma.
Hi, Michelle. How are
Hi.
You? I'm glad you're
here. During your first hour, we actually were able to receive you very faintly here.
In Oklahoma?
Yeah. And our antenna, of course, is still directed toward Nashville back from when the days you were broadcasting on the other network. And so we're going to move it around and see if you come in better. Of course, you're just blazing saddles there on satellite.
Wonderful.
So we're having a good time. This is great. I can listen to the show and fix dinner at the same time.
Well, good. You know, you're going to be a guest here probably next week sometime if you want to. Also, Alan Handelman of East Coast Live, who covers on Sunday nights Blankets, the East Coast, with a very popular rock program, wants to have you as a guest on his show, too. And I'll talk to you about that probably tomorrow morning.
Okay, well, let's set it up. Listen, the volume in the phone is very, very low. Can you turn up the gain on that a little bit?
Turn up the gain?
Whatever you do to make the volume in the phone louder.
You mean going back to you?
You talking to me in the phone is very, very faint and hard to hear.
Hmm. Well, this is about the best I can do.
Hmm. Well.
Let me see here. What can I do? Well, I could do this. Is that any better?
Say something else.
I said I can do this. Is that any better?
No.
No? Okay.
It's about the same. I've got one ear totally covered up and am listening very, very hard.
Well, there's nothing else I can do about that.
Well, I hope it's not just me.
No, it's probably a bad phone line.
It could very well be. In any event, I was very surprised to hear anything at all because I knew there was like next to no chance that I'd be able to receive it in Oklahoma. But gosh, during that first hour, it was definitely you.
Well, that's great.
It was very, very faint. Second hour, couldn't pick you up at all.
Yeah, well, our testing showed that if you're west of the Mississippi, you'll be lucky if you ever hear this broadcast on shortwave.
Right. Well, thank God for satellites, huh?
Yes.
All right, have a great day.
And for our FM broadcasters on the world, for calling, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
Michelle is the author of Oklahoma City Day One, which is a 640-page documentary, encyclopedic in scope, extensive appendix, index, and bibliography of what happened in Oklahoma City on April the 15th, 1995. And boy, when you read her book and find out what really happened, it's all documented. None of it is conjecture. It's all eyewitness testimony and documentation and taken right from the scene. It'll knock you over. Let me see here. Let's go back. Good evening or afternoon, wherever you're at. You're on the hour of the time.
Hi, my name is Evan, and I'm in east of the Mississippi in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And we're receiving it pretty good when we hold on to our antenna.
Oh, boy, that's an interactive sport, you know, shortwave listening. I used to go out in the backyard because I could never hear it in the house. And I would stand on one leg, put one leg up on the picnic table, hold the radio with my left hand, and put my little finger on top of the antenna.
Yeah, my dad's listening to you right now.
Wonderful. I'm just joking with that, but sometimes you have to do some crazy things to get the reception better on shortwave.
Yeah.
I'm glad you called.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, boy. Well, folks, got to take a little break here. Listen to this. You might learn something.
Thank you.
hour of the time, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. Now, don't be confused by that, because at some time in the future, they could, very quickly, by the stroke of a pen, become confiscatable and reportable. And that's why you've got to get your hands on real money now. You know there's something wrong in this country. You know that it wasn't too long ago, just one person, the head of the household, had to go to work to make a good living for a family of five. What's happened, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it that the values and the principles and the ideals and the morals and the ethics that made this country great are disappearing rapidly from around us? Why is it that everybody in the family now has to go to work just to barely make ends meet, and you rarely ever have anything left over to save? Well, it's not an accident, ladies and gentlemen. It's been carefully planned. And all the while, you're watching the stock market shoot up to astronomical highs beyond any concept of reason or explanation whatsoever. You really believe those companies represent the value that you're paying for those stocks? Can you understand or explain to me how the stock market just keeps going up and 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 up with no explanation, no reason? And if you were to liquidate any one of those companies tomorrow, you could not even come close to paying what you're paying for the value of those stock certificates, which are nothing more than paper representing speculation. Sooner or later, it all has to come tumbling down. One of the last planks of the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, that has to be implemented in this country is the elimination of the middle class. The only way that you can eliminate the middle class in the United States of America is to destroy the economy. They've been doing it by creeping inflation. You've been buying into it. Most people do not understand what money is, or what causes inflation, or what causes depressions, or how the supply or non-supply of money can be manipulated in order to steal your property from you. You see, in this country, when we used real money and you paid for something, you owned it. And you got the title in your hands. Many of you listening now don't even have the slightest concept or idea of what I'm talking about. But with a little bit of investigation, you'll soon discover. Some of you think you've paid off your homes, but you're paying property tax. Why are you paying property tax if you own your home? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you don't really own your home. You have what's called a warrant deed. A warrant deed guarantees that there is a title, but you don't have it. It's in the hands of the true owner, the state. The property tax is the rental payment that you're paying because you never purchased the property with real money. You cannot buy something and own it by paying for it with an instrument of debt. The same with your automobile. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why you get a certificate of title instead of the real title. And that's why you have to register your automobile. And that's why you have to pay all of these fees and taxes and licenses. Because with this phony money and the manipulation of our economy, they are slowly but surely yanking the value and the property of the nation right out from under us. If you listen to this Worldwide Freedom Network, eventually you will get to hear Stephen Jacobson's excellent educational program on money, the economy, inflation, depression, all of those things, called Wake Up America. It is the best education you'll ever get. But until then, call Swiss America Trading and ask them for their free newsletter. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time and that you support the Worldwide Freedom Network. Thank them for making all of this possible. Ask them how you can get your hands on some real money. And tell them that you're a listener to William Cooper in the Hour of the Time. And you'll get red carpet treatment, I guarantee it. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. You'll be glad that you did. You know how we all tend to procrastinate. Don't put it off. Call now. 1-800-289-2646. Or, if it's easier to remember, 1-800-BUY-COIN. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Network. We're broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen, on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world, along with WRMI, which is Radio Miami International, 99.55 kilohertz worldwide shortwave. I think somebody's on the phone. If they waited, good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Bill, welcome. It's great to hear you on shortwave.
Who's this?
And this is Watchman John out in Kansas.
Oh, boy. Are you getting us good?
Yes, sir. We're getting you. We heard several days ago on Anthony Jay's program that you were going to be on this station. So I began turning it in to see if we were possibly under the footprint of the station. And most of the time we get at an acceptable level. I'm about 50 miles west of Kansas City, Missouri, out in Kansas. And the station, of course, was a little weaker at the beginning, but now it's getting stronger as it's beginning to get into twilight here.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that.
So, we're a couple stations west of the Mississippi, and we're getting in, we're taping it, and we're recording, and glad to hear you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate your help in helping us to determine where we're being heard and how well. The weather is bad, real bad right now, all across the United States, so it can only improve.
Yep, but we're doing good out here. We'll be making tapes. I probably got 700 tapes of yours from when you were before, so we make copies and get them around, and the word's passing.
Fantastic.
We appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you who are doing something to help save freedom for America and for the world. And for those of you listening outside of the United States, remember this. The American people are the only people left in the world who can resist the tyranny of international socialism, which is gobbling up countries like popcorn at a Saturday matinee. And if we lose the battle here, you lose everywhere. Remember, socialism always deteriorates into dictatorship and ultimately into communism. If that's what you want, that's fine. But that's not what we're going to have in the United States of America. Good evening or afternoon. You're on the air.
Bill, this is David from Indiana.
David, you need to put your mouth right in front of your receiver and talk a little louder.
Get right in there. Okay, is that better?
That's much better.
Okay. Say, we appreciate your broadcast, Bill, and I wanted to let you know that I ran out from my vehicle, and I'm also a ham radio operator. and tuned you in out there on the vehicle, and I can hear you from my mobile unit, so it doesn't take too much to get you in here in central Indiana.
Wonderful. So you're in Indiana then?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, well, somebody called at the beginning of the hour and couldn't hear us up in that, I believe it was Ohio, they couldn't hear us.
Yeah, that may be antenna or local noise or something for
us. Could be.
But you were coming through loud and clear here. We're also a micro-broadcaster, and I'm going to try to figure out a way to get you in on the schedule here to get you on the air here locally a couple times.
Well, it'd be nice if you could get us in live at this time slot. If you can't, then you can, the best way to do it is tape on videotape and then rebroadcast it later.
Right, right.
Make sure you let them know, though, that it's a rebroadcast so that our phones aren't ringing off the hook here.
On New Year's Eve, you were telling that you were looking for a tape of Norm Resnick. Do you remember what the date was on that?
No, I don't remember the date, but it's the broadcast where he admitted that he was a member of the Anti-Defamation League. We've known forever that he's an admitted Zionist. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, this has nothing to do with being Jewish. Zionism is international socialism personified. And it has nothing to do with the formation of the State of Israel to have a Jewish homeland. The State of Israel has already manifested. It is the Jewish homeland, and there is no reason for international Zionism to exist anymore, except for the fact that they believe that the international Zionists, and there are more Christians who are Zionists than there ever were Jews, believe that they are God's chosen people, and that it's their job to take over and to govern the earth with socialism in their utopian New World Order. The Anti-Defamation League is a propaganda arm of this, whose job is not to prevent the Jewish people from being defamed, but to actually defame anyone who stands up and tells the truth about what's really happening in America and in the world. So that's why I'm looking for that tape.
That's a good explanation.
Norm Resnick pretends to be an American patriot. There are many Jewish American patriots who will fight and die to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but Norm Resnick is not one of them.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's what I was curious about. I've always had some trouble with this deal about Zionists, and I'm a Christian, and I certainly support the Jewish people and Israel and the formation of that state and the support we have of it.
You're falling off again. You need to put your mouth in front of that.
Get right into it.
Yes, and
okay.
Talk louder.
Anyway, that's a big help. You also mentioned back, I heard a tape the 13th of April of this year, and you were talking about Rush Bimbo Limbo.
Oh, the man who sits on half his brain and feeds you blather.
The fact that he's also a Freemason, and that explains why he's leaned off to the side when it came time to vote for NAFTA and gas and wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, so you understand where he's coming from now.
Oh, absolutely. How could you listen to him and hear him pretend to be a real American and be concerned about American jobs and be a conservative, and all he does is sit there and feed you pablum and nonsense, and then he tells you to support things like NAFTA and GATT, which takes business and jobs away from the American people, destroys the American sovereignty, opens up our borders to all kinds of unbelievable, terrible things that are just hastening to destroy this country and the freedom and the American people.
I confide our congressman here, Senator Coates, Senator here one day, and confronted him face to face on this deal about NAFTA specifically, and told him that I thought that he was wrong. And he said, "Oh no," he says, "this has turned out to be a good deal. The people at Eli Lilly commended him on his support for NAFTA." I said, "Yeah, but look," and then we turn around and we lose 700 jobs in this city, and we're, these jobs are drifting away all over the place. They're all going to Mexico or overseas. How on earth do you expect people to have money to buy stuff, to buy their products that they're going to produce at a lower cost? Part of this deal is to scale down of Americans, scale down the middle. You keep telling us all the time. These guys, I don't know where they're coming from, and God help America if we ever don't wake up to this thing and get it done here soon.
I'll tell you where they're coming from. They're socialists. They know exactly what they're doing.
Taking us right down the drain with them.
That's right. There's going to be a redistribution of wealth. The American people are going to be brought down in their standard of living to to the same level as the third world countries, who are going to come up a little bit to meet them sort of somewhere, you know, in the middle there. So the Canadians and American citizens are really going to suffer. It will improve the lives of people in places like Mexico and Guatemala and Bolivia and things like that.
Yeah, they're coming up at our expense.
That's right. But you see, socialism has to eliminate all classes. In truth, it doesn't. There's always the rulers and the ruled. But in the socialist system, they can never, ever allow a middle class to exist, because a middle class will not accept socialism.
Well, I sure am against it. I tell you, makes me upset every time I get thinking about it. Here they're selling us down the drain here, and people stand around, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's because of the media.
Well, the media is owned by...
Part of it.
Yeah, it's owned by socialists. And that's the reason for the big push to disarm the American citizens, so that when the sheeple out there, the big vast herd of sleeping Americans that we call sheeple, when they really wake up to the fact that they're being led to the shearing pens and then to the slaughter by a Judas goat, they're going to be terribly angry. And if they don't have the guns out of the hands of all American citizens by that time, there's going to be a lot of socialists hanging from lampposts.
You know, I think Linda Thompson was right a couple years ago, going to Washington.
Well, you know, she wasn't right at that time. Nobody was ready.
Not at that time, but yeah. I don't know. I
mean, we had to have time to build militias and wake people up and make them understand what's going to happen.
Her tape's one of the things that helped wake me up, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, and I wanted to let you know that we're hearing you here.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it blew me away. I was absolutely shocked that the federal government could go down to Waco, Texas, and on the subterfuge that the Branch Davidians had an automatic weapon that they did not pay a $200 tax for, could go in and spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to murder all of those people. And I actually heard Christians say to me, they were a bunch of religious fanatics. They deserved what they got. Needless to say, those Christians who said that are no friends of mine. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper, it's good to hear your voice on the airwaves again.
Thank you.
This is Denise from, of all places, Trump, Nevada.
Really? You're hearing us in Nevada in shortwave?
Yep, I'm picking you up on 9955. I've got about 300 feet of long wire out, though.
Oh, this is fantastic. You know, you're just making my day.
Well, now, it's not coming in good quality, because I rebroadcast a lot of your stuff on nothing but CD at this point. But, I haven't checked propagation today to see what it's like, but...
Well, weather's pretty bad all across the country. It's really bad here. In fact, we're having a blinding snowstorm outside.
Yeah, that just passed us.
Well, we've got it now.
Your turn.
At least an hour, almost 2 hours ago when I came into the studio, it was a blinding snowstorm. I don't know what's going on out there now. I've been in here for almost 2 hours.
Okay, I'll get off and let somebody else in. And
are you rebroadcasting?
I am on CD, yeah.
Good, okay.
But
you need to get a low-power FM transmitter and hook it up.
Yeah, you're right.
Got to do it. I mean, if we're going to wake up America, and if Americans are going to hear the truth, it can only be from this kind of effort, because they're never going to hear it from the likes of all the Communist News Network broadcasters, Ted Koppel and Dan Rather and Susie Two-Shoes and all of those people.
Right. I do have at least some people that I know listen on CB, though. So
good, that's wonderful.
However you can reach people is the way to do it.
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Well, goodbye. And that just about does it for tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have time to take another call here. I've got to zip on out because I've got to make sure that on this... first broadcast here, we don't screw up with WRMI and our time, and so I'm going to leave you with this thought. Good night, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you happen to be, and God bless each and every single one of you, and God save the Republic.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Something's not right.
Hillary Shalala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, demonic founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said Lucifer is God across the land. And put the thing hit the mark. It's your right hand. While we're all dancing with the drums of Buffalo Strike, Clinton's preparing us for another new attack. Order out of chaos, depression, inflation, and create the panic and enrage the nation. Crisis creation. Incite black and white, program agitation.
Don't resist! You're surrounded! By the UN in white and brown, the ATF have been in black, but the one world order.
But it's not new! Iron Mountain, computer beasts, and cattle mutilation. White projects, UFOs, and weird genetic combinations. The Nazi doctors didn't die. Come on, get him. They came here with the OSS through Operation Paperclip. National ID, debit card? Yeah. Vaccination, biochip, milk carton kids, genetic engineering. Clinton says there's no plans for you and your own good. Sure. And Adolf Hitler's Robin Hood. Masonic mind manipulation, inciting riots, is crisis creation. Biochip implantation, vaccinate your kid for UN identification.
This is a test for all of us. So I have today just one simple request. A comprehensive package of healthcare benefits that are always there and can never be taken away. Ever be taken away.
Atmospheric. Social illusion. Media hype. Plan confusion. Masonic religion. It's a liar. Not your friend. For a Luciferian Messiah.